It's one of the great mysteries of the Christian life. Why does God appear to answer some prayers and not others? Today here on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah seeks to bring understanding to the often misunderstood concept of prayer. Is God not answering, or are we not listening? From his series, 10 Questions Christians Are Asking, here's David to introduce today's message, Why Don't My Prayers Get Answered?
Well, thank you for joining us today. If you just found us here, or if you've been away and just rejoined us, we're in the midst of this series called 10 Questions Christians Are Asking. It's based upon, well, major lifetime input from me. I've been doing this pastor thing for a lot of years, and as you can well imagine, I have had many questions asked to me. Some people have approached me with intellectual questions about the nature of God or the deity of Christ or the authority and inspiration of the scripture. A lot of people ask me about the signs of the times since they know of my interest in prophecy. But many of the questions are issues of the heart, the whys of life. And that's what this question today is all about. Why don't my prayers get answered? If you're like me, you've asked God for some things that he hasn't given you. And you may wonder, why? Why would God not answer my prayer? Why does God not hear me? Or, well, you've reasoned that way, as we all have. And we won't have all of the answers to this question, but we got some answers, and I think the answers we have will be helpful. As we look at several selected scriptures, we're going to walk through this question with a serious pause and ask ourselves, why don't our prayers get answered? We'll get to it in just a moment. Before we do that, I hope you have already taken time to consider making a gift to Turning Point during this month. As I've told you earlier on, in the month of June, this is the final month of our fiscal year, and it's so important to us. I can't stress enough how important this month is to our financial well-being going into the new year. So if you've been thinking about doing something special for Turning Point and you haven't gotten around to it, I want to encourage you to get around to it in the next couple of days. We really need your help, and we can't do this by ourselves, but together we can continue to share the Word of God all over the world, and the opportunities continue to come to expand the audience of Turning Point. It's because of your faithful giving that we're able to do that. So when you send your gift to Turning Point during the month of June, remember, it's very, very special, and be sure to ask for your copy of the book, 10 Questions Christians Are Asking. We'll mail you this 200-page book, and it will be yours to read and study and share with others going forward. Right now, we need to get into our question, which is, why don't my prayers get answered? Why don't my prayers get answered? I've had a lot of people ask me that question. There once was a pastor who had a 5-year-old daughter, and the girl noticed that every time her dad stood behind the pulpit and was getting ready to preach, he would bow his head for a moment before he began to preach. And the little girl noticed that he did this every single time. So one day after the service, the little girl went to her dad and she said, "Dad, why do you bow your head right before you preach your sermon?" "Well, honey," the preacher said, "I'm asking the Lord to help me preach a good sermon." And the little girl looked up at her father and asked, "Then how come he doesn't do it?" Unanswered prayer. Everybody who knows anything about prayer and praise has a little different take on it, and it's always interesting to hear. And here's a young lady who's a teenager. Here's what her thoughts are on prayer. She said, "God answers prayer 4 ways. Yes, no, wait a while, and you've got to be kidding." Which tells you some of the things she asked for that she didn't get. I remember years ago, I read a story about a man who was being pursued by a roaring, hungry lion. Feeling the beast's hot breath on his neck and knowing his time was short, he began to pray as he ran. He cried out in desperation, "Oh Lord, please make that lion a Christian." Within seconds, the frightened man became aware that the lion had stopped the chase. When he looked behind him, he found the lion kneeling, his lips moving in obvious prayer. Greatly relieved at this turn of events, the young man went to join the lion in his meditation, and as he approached the king of the jungle, when he was near enough, he heard the lion praying,
And bless, O Lord, this food, which I'm exceedingly grateful for. There's always something with a little humor in it, but let's be honest, there's nothing really funny about praying and not feeling like you're getting answered. Ron Dunn, who was a great writer, written a little book on prayer. And in this book, he tells his story. He said, God did not answer two of the biggest prayers of my life. I wanted those things more than all the other answers put together, and I would have gladly forfeited all of my other prayers just for these two. I was surprised because I knew God would answer them. I mean, I had a word from God. We had done everything we were supposed to do. We believed, we prayed in faith, we confessed, we claimed, we pleaded the blood, we rebuked the devil, we thanked God in advance, and we even fasted. God had answered plenty of prayers like that before, but he didn't answer these prayers. And I was hurt because God had betrayed me. He had strung me along, tantalizing me with big answers to small prayers. And when the big prayers came, nothing. No answer, no explanation, nothing. Heaven was silent. He said, as the result of that, my prayer life began to shrivel. When I tried to pray, those two unanswered prayers hovered over me like two grinning demons. What's this? Are you praying again? It didn't do much good last time, did it? You're wasting your time. And he said the prayers would die in my throat. I can remember times in my life when I felt a little bit like Ron Dunn. And I would be surprised if most of us in this audience today do not identify in some way with his words. The problem of unanswered prayer is not something that started with our generation. In the Old Testament, Habakkuk struggled with his unanswered prayer. He cried out, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Job struggled with unanswered prayer. In Job 31:35, we have his words, Oh, that I had one to hear me. Oh, that the Almighty would answer me. King David struggled with unanswered prayer. In Psalm 13, we read his words, How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Habakkuk, Job, David, all echo the frustrations that many of us have had at one time or another when it seems as if God is not answering our prayers. I've heard people who say they are Christians say something like this, prayer doesn't work for me, Dr. Jeremiah. It just doesn't work for me. I pray about things and they never seem to change, so why should I bother praying? So I want to go on record at the beginning of this talk to confess to you that I don't understand all there is to know about prayer. Frankly, I'm a fellow learner along with the rest of you. Prayer has a mystery about it that we all understand. I know that God sometimes delays his answer. I know that God sometimes answers with a no, and no is an answer. Yes, I know all these things, but I also know that there are times when God says he does not answer our prayers. Now, let me be right up front with this. The Bible says that God does not hear and answer the prayers of those who do not belong to his family. Praying is a family exercise. It belongs to those who are in the family of God. The only prayer that God hears from someone who's not a Christian is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But even after we become members of the family, we begin to realize that sometimes when we pray, it doesn't seem like our prayers are working. J. Oswald Sanders once wrote that when a prudent businessman discovers that his business is running at a loss, he will take stock, he will draw up a balance sheet. He will discover why he has made no profit, and he will take remedial steps. Shall we be less prudent, he said, in our spiritual accounting? Have we ever sat down and honestly faced this question? Do we just accept the failure of some of our prayers fatalistically, or do we say, perhaps it was not God's will after all, or do we ask honest questions? There are several places in the Word of God that simply say that under certain circumstances, God will not answer our prayer. And this is what I want us to explore in these next few moments. I hope we can use this as a sort of checklist If my prayers are not being answered, could the reason be found on this list? Let's begin. Sometimes our prayers are not answered because of unprayed prayers. James 4, verse 2 says, you have not because you ask not. Someone has said that the tragedy of our day is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. Sometimes we don't get what we want from God simply because we don't ask for it. Our desires can be like concert tickets that we fail to pick up at the window, or unredeemed gift certificates. We thank God for the day, we ask Him to bless our food, but we fail to ask Him for the things we really need or the things we most desire. Several years ago, I was preaching on the subject of prayer, and at that time we were doing dramas before every message, and here on the stage, he had to put some file cabinets, kind of like in a horseshoe. And the drama had a man coming to heaven, and the file cabinets were the vestibule of heaven. When he got to heaven, St. Peter welcomed him, and he asked Peter, what are all these file cabinets? Oh, he said, there's a drawer in one of these cabinets for you. And he said, what is that all about? He said, these file cabinets contain all the things that God wanted to give to his people for which they never asked. And I remember that day thinking, Lord God, I don't want to have a drawer like that when I get to heaven. I want to ask you for everything I need, everything that is important, everything that I believe you can bless. I want my cabinet drawer to be empty when I get to heaven. Amen? Amen. I want to ask for the things that I need. It's amazing to me how many people say God doesn't answer my prayer. When I begin to talk with them, I find out they have never specifically asked God for the thing they say they have not received. God is not going to answer your prayer for some specific thing because you pray at the dinner table. You're to ask Him. The Bible says, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew chapter 7. So the biggest reason why prayers aren't answered, and this is probably bigger than all of the other reasons, is they're just not offered. We have not because we ask not. And then the Bible says that sometimes our prayers are not answered because of unconfessed sin. I used to think there was just maybe one verse about this in the Bible, but during this particular study, I have found out that this is a prevalent truth in the Word of God. Puritan preacher William Gurnall said, when people do not mind what God speaks to them in His Word, God does not mind what they say to Him in their prayers. And John Bunyan of Pilgrim's Progress once said, prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. So let me give you four or five scriptures that you can write the reference down. Don't try to write the whole verse. You'll never keep up with me. But write down the reference, and when you get home, you can fill in the verses themselves. Here's the most famous verse that says that, Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Or Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Or Proverbs 28, verse 9, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Or Isaiah 1:15, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but our iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Or 1 Peter 3, 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Sometimes, as followers of Christ, our prayers don't get answered because we're harboring unconfessed sin in our lives. Go back with me to the first verse, Psalm 66, 18. Read it again. If I regard iniquity in my heart. Notice, it doesn't say, if I sin, the Lord will not hear me. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart. In other words, if I know there is a sin in my life and I'm not doing anything about it. A person who regards iniquity as one who holds a particular sin in his heart, and he loves it, and he makes an alibi for it, and he excuses it, and he covers it up. It is not primarily, therefore, the fact of sin that keeps us from getting our prayers unanswered. It is the love for it and the excusing of it that pushes God away from us. The prayer God wants to hear from us when we have sin in our lives is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of us as believers sin. The Bible says if a person says, I do not sin, he is a liar and he doesn't do the truth. But it's what we do with it when it happens that God cares about. He's opened a way for us to have instantaneous forgiveness. But if we harbor something that we know is evil, something that's sinful, and then we try to pray, we will often find it to be very difficult. Sometimes our prayers are not answered because of unprayed prayers and unconfessed sin, and sometimes our prayers are not answered because of unbelieving minds. It says in James chapter 1, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. What does it mean to be double-minded? It means to trust God and then not to trust him. To trust him over here, not to trust him over here. To believe him here, to not believe him here. Someone has written this in a little free verse. It goes like this. As children bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend, I brought my broken dreams to God because he was my friend. But instead of leaving him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with ways that were my own. At last I snatched them back and cried, how could you be so slow? My child, he said, what could I do? You would never let them go. To be double-minded is not to let the request go, not to be able to give them up completely to God, to give them to God and take them back. Sometimes our prayers aren't answered because we pray them and then we take them back, and we try to work out the solution ourselves instead of trusting God. And then number four, sometimes our prayers aren't answered because of unrighteous motives. James 4, verse 3 says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Now, let's just be honest about this, men and women. God is not the big genie in the sky. He is not the sugar daddy just waiting for you to come and tell him all of the fluffy little wonderful things you would like. Maybe we do that when we're little kids. But grown-ups need to know better than that. God is not there in heaven just waiting for you to ping him so he can give you everything you ever dreamed of, no matter what you've heard on television or on radio. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have in God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. Matthew 6:9-10 says, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. In the Bible, there are some interesting illustrations of Bible people who prayed, I'm going to use this in, I hope, the right way, some pretty dumb prayers. Take this one, for instance. Peter, overwhelmed by the sudden appearance of Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, impetuously asked that shelters be built for the two time travelers and for Jesus. He wanted to set up camp on the Mount of Transfiguration because he didn't want to go back down to the real world. Here he was with Jesus. Who wouldn't want to stay with Jesus? But that was a dumb thing for him to do. That wasn't the will of God. The disciples, James and John, along with their ambitious mother, once said to Jesus, when we get to heaven, I'd like to be seated one on the right hand and one on the other. They wanted seats of prominence in the kingdom, and they got their mother involved in the deal. And Jesus said, you do not know what you are asking. What was wrong with those prayers? The prayer was for something that they could consume on themselves. They wanted prominence. They wanted power. They wanted prestige. God is not in the business of answering prayers like that because we're asking amiss. Our motives are wrong. Peter earned a strong rebuke when he objected to Jesus' plan for Jerusalem. Jesus jumped all over him and he said, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in your mind the things of God, but the things of men." And that gets right to the heart of the problem with inappropriate prayers. They're self-serving. They're not in accord with God's nature. They put the focus on our things, not on the things of God. Someone has said, we ask for health, not to serve others, but to engage in righteous living. We ask for wealth so that we may live in luxury instead of serving God with our money. The word spend in the verse means to waste or squander. God will not give us something just to waste it. God refuses to listen to men who eagerly pursue selfish pleasures. Greed is idolatry and God hates it. This doesn't mean we cannot ask God to do something for those we love. This does not mean that we cannot ask God to give us our daily bread and meet our needs. The key to understanding this verse is the word spend. It is a word that means praying for something just because you want it. It has nothing to do with the will of God or the purpose of God. It's just a selfish prayer. It's a frivolous prayer. Here's a good illustration. We must remember that God's ultimate concern is not with our team winning the ball game, but in himself being glorified in the process. His ultimate concern is not that we all have perfect health, but that we lift every ounce of our health up to his honor and glory. His ultimate concern is not that we have a high-paying job, but that we praise him and are thankful for what he provides. His ultimate concern is that we are consumed with his glory in whatever state we are in. And I believe that God delights in giving even the smallest of things to his children. But we must weigh the motives of our hearts against the substance of our requests. We must ask, is my desire in this to see God glorified in my life, or am I just wanting this so that it's for me? God plainly says that some people do not get what they ask for because they ask for the wrong reason. You probably have read this. It's on many cards that I've seen in greeting card stores, but it bears listening to right now. It goes like this. I ask for strength that I might achieve. He made me weak that I might obey. I ask for health that I might do greater things. I was given grace that I might do better things. I ask for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I ask for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I ask for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I receive nothing that I ask for, but all that I hope for, my prayer was answered.
Well, that's the way it works.